Dylan is going to hell.
We're
going to
really take a hard, critical look at the people the society's decided to hate. The billionaires, the dictators, the CEOs.
On Gas Digital Network.
We know that there are bad things in the world. There are bad people. And thank God for them.
Will you join him?
What's good without evil?
Everybody on Instagram, stop acting like you caught me because I put a fucking picture of barbecue up and you're all fucking tweeting me and you're all saying, oh, ha, ha, caught you because I had a rant about fucking barbecue while I was shitting on barbecue a few weeks ago. First of all, you're clearly not aware of the fat rules, okay? I will complain about something while I'm eating it and before I order more of it because fat wins. And I didn't say I hated all barbecue. I said that a lot of barbecue that you got sucks. A lot of it just sucks. You're eating fucking a tree bark half the time. But I like Mabel's Smokehouse in Brooklyn. And I went there, I threw up a picture, and everybody's... There's no being a hypocrite when you're fat, number one. It doesn't exist. When I was in, I was senior year of high school, Holy Trinity High School, Hicksville, Long Island. Billy Joel, Village Green, right around there. And I was at a buddy of mine's house, and I was shitting on this Mexican restaurant called On the Border. On the Border is in Long Island. It's in Hicksville. It's by a mall. And I was just shitting on it. I don't even remember why. I was just making fun of it. It's something I do. It's what I've always done. Yeah, I was saying, oh, it's a shit. That's white trash. Go there. I'm not wrong. I wasn't wrong. His parents bring home Mexican food, and I just start gorging myself on it. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, where's this from? And they're like, oh, On the Border. And everybody looked at me and laughed. But again, doesn't matter. Because, you know, I was just like, it's hot, it's here, I'm fat, hey, I'm going to eat it. So you don't get to make me wear the hypocrite fucking scarlet A to my chest because I criticize a food and then eat it. You got to eat. What am I going to do? I get mad at a barbecue restaurant and I have to abstain from barbecue for the rest of my life because I fucking told some hard truths about barbecue. What am I supposed to do? You know? It was just funny. And that's something that's happened a few times in my life where I've shit on a restaurant and then had to kind of go back and just go, fat wins. And at the end of the day, you're just going to fucking eat. So that's to address all of you on Instagram calling me a hypocrite because you're fucking not aware of the rules that fat people live under. There's a whole other government for fat people and for dealing with us. And we're not subject to your rules. Thanks to Sean. And by the way, Ray is with us, co-host Ray Kump, of course.
Hello, how are you?
I want to forget Ray. I just had to address that. Ray, if you're watching live, Ray is going to be, I think he's in one shot because one of the cameras is broken. And then the other thing, we're going to use a photo of a raccoon to portray him. There you go. There it is. There he is, right there.
Oh, look at that.
That's
fine.
Look
at me.
Thank you to Sean for sending us the Subway gift cards and the Subway and the Starbucks.
Oh, Shawnee.
Gift cards.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
A true mensch, is that a word?
I don't know, but he is he's a great fan. He's having surgery. We wish you the best. You know,
pray for him.
Tell the doctors Tim Dillon's going to hell, you know? I think we need more medical professionals here, but no, we're very appreciative of this, Sean. Thank you very much. This is big time, and thanks everybody who came out and said hello. It's Gangfest. It was very fun to meet all of not all of the different fans, but many of them came out to Skankfest. It was wild.
I had a fun time meeting people. I don't know. It was a surreal moment having people want my picture. When usually I'm taking secret pictures of them.
Right. It was a weird... It was like somebody going up to a peeping Tom and going, hey, do you mind if I get a photo with you? Ray's like, yeah. You know? It was cool. It was wild. That naked roast, I mean, I don't want to get into it, but I mean, I don't want to ruin the surprise. But I mean, wow, was that, it was intense.
And people are pulling things out of themselves.
Oh, it was wild. It was really, it's comedy on another level. It's really not comedy. It's like an oddity festival. It really went to, but it went to this place where, like, if you were coming to Skankfest to have an experience, you had it, you know? I mean, you had it. I was trying to find a muffin without, that wasn't stuffed with drugs, and I couldn't find one. Yeah, but there was stuff with, like, you know, they're edibles. Everything's inedible now.
I forgot. Someone handed me an edible.
Yeah, everything's inedible.
It's in my pocket, probably.
When I was smoking, somebody handed you an edible this weekend. It's still in your pocket.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
what do you want me to
keeping
do?
It. He's keeping it on him.
I don't. I feel.
Yeah, it's like you live like a traveler, like the guys who are on their way to Mordor. They keep all their food in their pockets in a pouch.
Like food. It was like a candy. It wasn't like a fucking it wasn't a pot lasagna.
No, okay. It's when I smoke weed, and I smoked weed from I was probably 1998, 99, I was 12 to 2010. Heavy. I was a smoker. I loved weed. And I never, there were no edibles unless somebody made like a batch of brownies or Rice Krispie treats. But now, because it's legal in a few states, the edible market's really exploded.
I don't, like, there's shows now with like actual chefs cooking food with pot. And I just don't understand why can't you just like no one's like, make, I mean, there is beer, chicken, or whatever, but it's like, that's the flavor or whatever. Like, but no one's making like, you know, scotch infused steak, you know? It's just like, why can't you have your steak and your scotch?
Yeah, I mean, well, nobody's right. So if you have tequila marinated shrimp, it's not so you're getting drunk.
Right.
It's because there's a flavor component. I think this is what happens, man, when something gets legalized that hasn't been legalized.
Yeah.
And they lift prohibition. I feel like people go crazy for a little while. And, you know, everybody's trying to figure out a new way to make money. And the whole edible game is interesting to me because, you know, I've taken psychedelics, I've eaten shrooms, I've tripped on acid and stuff. And when you ingest something, you don't know when or how it's going to hit you. Like, you don't know how intense these edibles are. So you have comedians that, like, walk in and I'm like, what's wrong with you? And they're like, I took an edible half hour ago and I just didn't hit me. You know?
It's not, look, it's hard to scale down what you're going to get out of an edible. It's too much pot. Like, I don't get the whole pot, like, thing. It's just too much for me.
Too much for you. It's too much for you.
Yeah, I've never been a good pot guy. You know that.
Yeah.
I don't
well,
like
that. You're
not
a guy that handles anything well.
That's not true.
You don't handle anything well.
That's not true at all.
You don't handle alcohol well.
I handle alcohol fine.
Last episode.
That was because of the pot.
Last episode.
That was because of the pot.
You were vomiting on the floor.
Because of the pot.
But let me ask you a question. Why did you smoke the pot?
I wasn't that drunk. It was more like, oh, sure.
Can I quote you from last episode? Okay. Can I quote, direct quote?
Sure.
Can I quote this episode first? I just want to put two quotes back to back.
Okay.
This episode, I handle alcohol well, quote. Last episode, I found a can of wine and I drank it.
No, it wasn't, you misinterpreted what that meant. It was more like I went to get a beer out of the beer thing and it was just, I didn't realize until I started drinking it, it was wine.
So instead of putting it down and saying this is not what I wanted, you just drank it.
Well, they don't waste it?
Yeah.
That seems rude.
It seems
like, oh, I opened up your expensive can of wine. I'm just going to throw it in the garbage.
An expensive can of wine?
It must have cost at least $4.
But this is what I mean. You're not a guy that has a glass or two of wine. I don't think you're an alcoholic, but when you drink, you drink.
Sometimes. I mean, I can have a couple beers.
Okay, right. But I mean, it's not, there are people in the world, because I wasn't never a guy that did this, but like, there are people that, like, you know, smoke every now and then. I don't know too many of them. The majority of people I know smoke all the time. I mean, multiple times a day.
Right.
The amount of people I know that are drinkers are usually heavy drinkers.
Well, the problem with that is this, because same thing with me. I try to, like, oh, occasionally I'll have a little bit, and it just hits you so fucking hard, you can't do it.
Well, right.
You have to, like, do it for, like, weeks on end to build a tolerance up just to be able to function in society if you take it.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, when you're, I never regret that I don't have a relationship with drugs now. I think that, in my personal opinion, this is just for me. Everybody has a different fucking, you know, schedule. But, I mean, to me, you should be smoking a lot of pot when you're 17 years old, when you're hanging out, you've got nothing to do, you have no obligations. You know, there's that whole period of time when you're a young kid from, like, 15, you know, to really, like, 21 almost, you know? But maybe if you get a fake ID, you shave a few years off that. There's that whole amount of time where, like, if you want to drink and smoke pot and hang out and party, you, like, can't go inside. Like, we would just walk around our town. There'd be roving bands of kids that would be like, you know, we'd smoke behind the store or we'd go to the beach or, like, you know, somebody would have a car and you'd smoke there. But it's like, it was this weird kind of period of, like, homelessness, you know? Like, you would stand outside of a liquor store and ask people, like, hey, can you buy me a bottle?
I mean, I used to leave my house just so I wouldn't. Just like I go to a bookstore and sit in a parking lot.
Right.
I wouldn't even get drunk.
Right, right.
But yes, yeah, so I relate to your experience.
Well, this is the way people
you
grow.
Can't stay, you can't be home. You have to get out. You have to get
There's nowhere for you to go at 16. Like, right. You can't go to a bar and you can't go to somebody's house and get high, usually. Not where people's parents. We didn't have these big, you know, when you're rich, you kind of can because those yards are here. Like, I have a couple of buddies that were really wealthy and I try to talk to them about this, and this is like a middle class or lower middle class problem, because when you're really rich, your parents are in Stad, and you're fucking like, you're just like, okay, don't fuck with the maid, and we have 3 acres, and we could just go in the woods in our own property. But I grew up in a town where, like, you would stand outside of a store, and you'd have to ask people to buy you cigarettes, and be like, hey, man, can you give me a pack? Hey, can you give me a pack of cigarettes? And somebody would. I love those people. The ones that did. The ones that were like, yeah, pack of Marlboros. Hey, you get me vanilla Dutch while you're in there? Yeah, what are you putting weed in that Dutch? No, it's for my grandfather. He loves cigars. They would smile. You get a Dutch. You get a cipher going. Five people, four people, whatever. The smaller, the better. But, you know, people would. Cipher's like a circle where you'd all smoke pot. You know, you get a bunch of people. And you'd walk around. You go to the park. You go to the beach. You go wherever. And that, to me, was the time to really do drugs. That was the time. Because the older you got, the more responsibilities you had. I feel like it should be kind of crazy. Like, you should be smoking weed in the park or on the beach. Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Here's a problem. Like, you either have friends who were, like, not doing great, or people in comedy who are like, yeah, they're supposed to be, like, really ambitious. But, like, there's plenty of people who are, like, just like professionals who don't have a job where it's cutthroat and they get off at like 5 or 6 and they just fucking, like, you know, professors or teachers, and they just smoke pot.
Well, you're the one that said you don't get it. I'm trying to explain to you. You're like taking every side of the issue. You walked in here and said, I don't get the whole pot thing. I'm explaining. The next point I was going to make. I was going to say, but that's my experience, and many people have the opposite experience. Like, they didn't do this when they were young.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a fun thing. So I have all sides of the issue.
I have
here.
A moderation issue, is your point.
I don't think you should be doing anything. I really don't. I don't think you should drink or do anything. I think you're the type of guy that your life would be much better if you did nothing. But you're not going to listen to me. And that's most people. Most people in the world, I look at them and I go, you'd be doing better without it. But they don't want to. And they go, but I like it. I'm having fun. So it's kind of like, hey, it's not my... You know, listen, I would be better not eating fucking what I eat. So I'm not perfect.
Yeah, it's not as if people live their life according to, like, a planned game plan of...
people do.
Yeah, I mean those people are crazy.
But my point about weed was, like, for me, the funnest times I had with weed were when I was fucking 17 years old.
Sure.
Personally. I'm trying to do something that's hard. It's a competitive business. I don't think you can be high all the time.
Right.
And the people that I see that are high all the time, I think they're making a mistake. I think you can fuck around every now and then and have fun, but just a constant like drug induced, you know. And it's whatever. It's not my. I don't care. It's not like I judge anybody. I know guys that do get high 8 times a day and are doing much better in the business than I am.
Sure.
So. But I know a lot of them that aren't. Right. Like, I know a lot. There's outliers. But then the majority of people that I see that are in their mid-30s getting stoned all the time, living month to month, paycheck to paycheck, you know, getting drunk all the time, celebrating God knows what the fuck you're celebrating.
You know, it's
a decade of doing comedy with no account, like nothing.
They moved out of Ohio.
You know, and you see them and they're like partying and they're like, yeah, man. And you're like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but...
They're free spirits.
Yeah. But I remember that time. I regret, like, I think that was the funnest time in my life. And most kids that grew up in the suburbs, that weren't total losers were doing, having fun like that, where they were kind of like going out, smoking weed, drinking, learning what your tolerance is, throwing up. And then people go to college and then it becomes a thing, you know, and then they graduate college and decide what they want to do. But then there's a lot of people that are just like, you know, my father's friends smoke weed. They're like business guys that like get silly and stupid and get hot, you know?
Yeah, they're like Japanese kabuki girls and stuff.
Right. Wait, Japanese what?
I just pictured them like all getting kabuki girls. That's my fantasy. Like, have a big, just be a, like a traveling businessman with a kabuki girl.
Never going to happen.
Why not? Why? I can afford one, maybe. How much do they cost?
You can get one.
Shannon, can we look up how much a kabuki girl costs?
No, you can look that up, Shannon, but the problem was traveling businessman.
Oh.
You getting a whore was not what I found unbelievable about that. It was your issue when you said, I'd like to be a traveling businessman. Even just businessman.
I could be a business guy.
What business?
You know, like any kind of applied... like
thank you for coming, sir.
Plastics.
Thank you for coming.
I could sell you plastics. I could sell you
I think you'd
polymers. Any kind of composite steel framework.
Let me ask you a question. Have you seen this CNN video that Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, those guys have released, which basically is showing all of the producers at CNN admitting that the Russia story is bogus? And
really?
And they're just running with it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is Shannon, like behind the
scenes? Going to get that video up. It's behind the scenes, hidden camera. This is what they do. And a CNN video is a real damning kind of piece of evidence against the entire, you know, really CNN in particular. But yeah. I think if you can kind of extrapolate that, you know, there are similar trends at other media outlets where they're kind of like, well, we don't really have, like, there are producers admitting like, yeah, well, they're like, the story seems kind of bogus. They're like, well, as of now, which basically means they're totally driving this. This thing. Okay, Shannon, what are we doing? Yeah, what's the one? Does it say Project Veritas?
It says breaking CNN quote, leak takes prove horrific truth.
Yeah, I don't know. Just type in Project Veritas. I want to get the exact video. I don't want somebody else's fucking opinion on the video. I don't even need to play. You can all just watch the video. I don't really... You have it? All right, let's play this right now. This is supposedly the leaked video from Project Veritas at CNN.
The more I see them constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that.
This is ratings. Our ratings are incredible right now.
But honestly, you think the whole Russia shit is just, like, bullshit.
Could be bullshit. I mean, it's mostly bullshit right now. Like, we don't have any big giant proof.
I just feel like they don't really have it, but they want to keep digging.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the president is probably right to say, like, look, you are witch hunting me. Like, you have no smoking gun. You have no real proof.
And the CEO of CNN said in our internal meeting, he said, good job, everybody, covering the climate accords. But we're done with it. Let's get back to Russia.
The more I see CNN constantly, like, Russia this, Russia that.
This is ratings.
All right.
But honestly,
it's not the most damaging.
It's pretty bad.
It's
pretty bad.
I don't think so.
Why, Ray? Why do you not think it's fucking bad?
It's
they're saying that they are essentially running with a story that they all think is bullshit because it's ratings. How is that not bad?
Maybe I'm wrong.
How is that not bad?
Because relax. Here's the thing. It's not. It depends on what they're doing in the meet. Are they like running down the source? Like
they're not doing any. It's fucking. It's all anonymous. They admit, I'll make a play it again, they admit that it's bullshit. And the president go, yeah, the president's kind of right to say, you're witch hunting us.
But it doesn't seem like they go, like, yeah, it's bullshit as far as, like, we don't have any proof yet. It doesn't seem
play
like...
Play it again, Shannon. We'll just play it for the rest of the episode if he's going to be fucking retarded. Play it again.
What?
Let's see.
Proof?
No, let's watch. Watch it again.
I just feel like they don't really have it, but
they want to keep digging. They don't have it, they want to keep digging. So the president is right to say, you're witch hunting me. Why are they doing this? They are doing this is baseless.
But when you run an investigative journalistic like enterprise, I'm saying you like digging it is
the end. If I investigate you for being a pedophile with no evidence And I just say an anonymous source says Ray fucks kids. And I take my whole news staff and I put them on it. And then 6 fucking months later, they go, well, we don't really have it, but they want us to keep digging. It's irresponsible journalism.
I think you still have like the intelligence apparatus. And he's got, and he's like, yeah, the head of the FBI maybe was saying that they think Russia hacked it.
So I understand
like,
that.
So it's not like there is nothing to like lead them there.
It's listen, man, if you don't have any fucking evidence, I don't care what John Brennan, an ousted CIA director, says, who's fucking on his ass. I don't care what he says. If there's no evidence, and if James Comey has no evidence, I don't understand what we're doing.
But no one's saying they don't have evidence. They're saying that like they're not going to release evidence of an ongoing investigation in the middle of it.
This is literally people creating it. They're creating a story. John Brennan, the CIA, is literally planting this idea in their heads, and they are inventing stories. They just had to retract the story. 3 producers just left CNN. They tried to connect Trump to Russia through Anthony Sacramucci, a hedge fund guy, the guy who actually runs the SALT conference. They tried to connect Trump to Russia through him. They had that bullshit Kushner story. They just keep inventing these connections that don't exist. And it's like, listen, we have Baker on. We talked about all this. No one brought up Felix Sater. Nobody's brought up any of that. Nobody's brought up anything. So unless Russ just made that up, which I don't know. I don't think he did. But like at the end of the day, it's like the response to this cannot just be, ah, fuck it.
It's not ah, fuck it. It just doesn't seem like it's not exactly. I think you're looking at it and go like, oh, we're like they're faking the whole thing. I think that they're aggressively running it down to an extent. Like, yeah, maybe it's not like, look, is it true or not true? I don't think this video shows one way or the other. I think they're showing that they're definitely willing to bend for it. They're definitely biased.
Right, they're basically, you have producers going, it's for our ratings.
Everything's for their ratings.
I understand.
That's not a big deal. It's not a big expose.
If you're a news service and you're supposed to be an impartial or objective or whatever.
What are we, 12 though? Come on.
No, we're not 12. Not fucking have to answer for that? They don't have to answer for that?
When I say that it's not a big deal, I don't mean it's not a big deal. I mean, like, we've known this for decades now.
I understand that, but this is the proof. You can know something and then you get the proof and then you go, well.
But they do it by all stories, not just this story.
No, this story has been the only one that they've fucking hammered and shoved down America's throat for the last 4 months. No other story. There's been no other story. This is the story. And they've done nothing else. This is it. And for you to kind of, or for anybody, and I've talked to, most people are horrified at this. I will say that. I think most people think it is horrific. They are like, this is, except the people on the left, that nothing matters to them. Nothing matters. The head of CNN could come out fucking a goat. It wouldn't matter. They would go, Donald Trump's a racist, and he wants to build a wall. At what point does anybody fucking get held accountable for their actions? Because you have producers admitting, we're doing this for ratings, we don't have anything, and we're just fucking going at the guy. Listen, man, if it was Fox News, and it was Obama, and it was a tape like this, I would feel the same way. It's like, it just has to, you know?
No, I hear what you're saying. I'm not convinced that there's like nothing there and they're making it all up. They're definitely being aggressive and pushing it, which because we're talking about this as if they're like, this whole thing is concocted by CNN and their counterparts and there's nothing actually there.
I don't know.
Is that what you think? Think nothing's there?
When does this investigation end? Does it conveniently end at the end of his presidency? When we've wasted 4 years?
It's been like 3 or 4 months. It's not even like
that
long.
I understand that, but what are we going to do? Where is the evidence? What do we need? They are certain. Brennan goes, I'm certain. Comey goes, I'm certain. Well, then you have evidence. Show it to us. If you're certain, then where is this evidence that you're so certain? And if the investigation is ongoing, why are you certain?
Well, that's a fair point as far as the certainty aspect.
Right.
But I mean, like, what's the thing? When are these hearings done?
Well, here's the thing, man. I think there needs to be some closure. You have 2 guys going that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Russia hacked the election, but it's an ongoing investigation. We can't sit here. Well, you know for certain that they did it. How? And explain. And if you can't explain it to us for national security reasons, then you have to just shut up about it.
Because
at the end of the day, I'm not taking your word for it. You lied to me about Abu Ghraib. You lied about weapons of mass destruction. You lied about a million other things. You lied about the Gulf of Tonkin.
Oh, yeah.
You lied about...
Well, if you're saying as a person, like, yeah, you shouldn't just accept it. But I'm saying, like, practically speaking...
Yeah.
Like, you made the point. Like, yeah, they lie about everything... Like, this is no different. Like, this is no different than the fucking... So, like, yeah. Like, they don't tell us about, like, why this fucking terror alert go from orange to purple to blue. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
We're living in a draconian state already.
Yeah.
So that's my point. Like, yeah, they're not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And there is no... Like, you're saying, like, well, you got to do it. There is no expectation of it. Yeah. No one is pushing them to it.
Yeah.
Sucks.
You think this is the end? You think this is how it ends? Like, the beginning of the end?
Yeah, well, look, it's the kind of thing where it's like, this is...
You start to see some real cracks now.
We're in a transition. Look how Britain was. Like, Britain is in the 50s versus what they were, like, in the turn of the century.
Yeah.
Like, look, we're a declining empire.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. I mean, I think it's the end of, like, Western civilization? Nah, maybe. Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think this is, like, how America kind of, like, becomes
Yeah, you're starting to see the cracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where the people have to kind of stick up for themselves. And I don't know if they will. Because I think the most genius thing that this civilization, this country has done, is from the point of view of the powerful, is to kind of subdue the people with all sorts of treats and electronic gizmos.
Yeah.
And no one really gives a shit. Everyone's placated. If you look at the 60s versus now, I mean, there are people... Who like people get mad like oh millennials they do shit too and like they're not just sitting around but for the most part you don't have the same level of activism you had in the 60s or in the 30s with the 20s you know like there's people are less engaged now they're more like disassociated the internet's kind of made people more able to like get their word out and like talk to each other about it
right
but also do less about it
yeah
so it's kind of like a situation where you're just kind of screaming at a wall
yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's not. You have a better chance in terms of getting news of a just asking a guy online at the deli what he thinks than watching any of this.
Rice pudding's
CNN,
fresh.
Yeah. Just go, well, what's the news? You go, I don't know. The world's fucked. All right. That's a better than any of these things. Any of these. We're at the point now where there's no objective information. There's no objective.
Like, it's scary. Because where do we dial back to? Is it all just because of corruption, or is it the inevitable result of like this weird domino economy we've had for the past 150 years, where it's like we just keep inflating the currency, all these economic bubbles. The economy itself is a bubble, and it has to be constantly expanded. And like we're running out of actual shit to expand. Well, like real.
But most people don't even know that. So how much of a role can that play? Because most
people... What do you
people,
mean? The fact that they don't know about it is a problem.
I understand that, but we're talking about something deeper, spiritual almost. We're talking about people, human beings.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No, because this. Because people are... They're deeply affected in a spiritual way, what you're talking about, because they don't have jobs. They don't have opportunities. They can't get a house, but their parents have a house when they were their age.
Yeah.
All that kind of shit.
You think people want to see people fight all the time? I mean, people in the Roman Colosseum wanted to see that, you know? There is something in us innately that wants to just see carnage.
I think
we want to see it all burned down.
Biologically, we want that.
Yeah.
We're used to seeing it, or it excites us at least.
But society on some level exists to kind of temper those animal spirits and civilize us.
Sure, but I think the smarter societies have realized how to diffuse that. Well, like the and combat sports or murdering people in a Coliseum,
right?
Either way,
right.
Are a good way to like you know raise the valve and kind of get the gas out of the system,
right?
You know, like it makes you less likely to you know just start hitting some guy at a fucking frozen yogurt place,
right?
They don't have low fat
and
coconut.
And this economy that you know you've rightly pointed out is you know all based on a flat curve. I mean, there's really nowhere to go.
What's the problem? It's like where even if you decide everyone decides well this is corrupt and it's a bubble, it's possible to like scale it down over time, but no, not like it's like technically possible. It's not going to happen.
Right.
So basically, if anyone looks at it, it's just going to blow up.
Right.
If we try to fix it all on a fundamental level,
and that's really the heart of it is that we're dancing kind of on the head of a pin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're like lighting a candle on both ends. We're like some guy in the 80s in fucking Chelsea fucking smoking fucking angel dust and fucking getting
fucked raw dog and, you know, something's going to kill you.
Yeah.
What is it, 50 years, 100 years? What do we have left?
Before, was it collapse or just like...
Before we start seeing massive civil unrest, before we start to really feel... Before you walk out of your house and go, fuck, what's going on? Like before, you know, you look at the slums in Mumbai, you look at all these areas where you have tent cities, you're looking at, you know, you look at, you know, certain areas, you know, even the you know, what happened to Greece, for example, like, you know, and I don't think it ever got that bad in Greece, but, you know, in terms of the financial system, really.
Well, Greek people are terrible.
Buckling. I there's no argument.
They were just, I mean, the level of entitlement they felt on a personal level.
Like, well, they invented civilization. This is their claim. You know, they're yeah, like, well, ah, of course they want, you know, they, you know. But here's the other thing. So what are we looking at time-wise, do you think?
I think...
Before these cities, because you read all these reports that go, in a certain amount of time, mega cities are a thing in the future. And you could feel it in New York. You could feel
what
the
mega... What does that mean, mega city?
Meaning that everybody's going to move to cities because all of these suburbs and all these industries are drying up out in the country and in the suburbs. Rural areas are fucked already. So people are going to move back into the cities for the last remaining bits of opportunity that are left. You know, poor people are able to be in the cities because there's proximity to services, things like that. So you have just these huge city centers with a lot of poor people, a lot of desperate people, and that the future modern warfare is going to be, and this is a Pentagon report, modern warfare is going to be fought in mega cities with lots of slums, large populations, lots of civil unrest, things like that.
You don't think the Pentagon's kind of full of shit there? Like, they know. Like, biggest.
What about that do you think is...
The next war is going to be fought by predator drones and robots.
No, but they're talking about where they're going to fight.
I know, but it's also misleading. It's like, they're really talking about population control and martial law.
I understand
kind of
that,
shit.
But you don't see the logic of why these... I mean, the population of all these cities are just growing.
Yeah, but why would the war... I mean, like, who are we going to be fighting with?
Fighting in New York City. I don't think...
Against who?
Our own people. I don't think...
So a civil war we're talking about.
I think kind of, yeah. I think okay. That's...
Something if we're fighting Russia, I don't know they're fighting block to block. They're bombing us. And we're bombing them.
Right. But I don't think... I think they were basically saying that urban warfare is the future, whether it's in other countries or this one.
Here's the problem. When you talk about the future of war, there's two...
How about just the future? Forget the future of war. We're not really talking about the future of war. Right. I'm just trying to... This is like, you're like so off today. I'm just trying to say, how is it the future of war? No, you have no, we have no idea about the future of war.
Idea.
We don't have an idea. Start your own podcast, talk about the future of war. I'm asking you,
right.
Do you not see, go on High Society Radio and tell Johnny about the future of war.
I'll be on this Thursday.
You don't think that you don't think that these cities are just going to explode and boil over with rage?
Look, there's going to be, against the cops, yeah. I don't know, but I don't know what they mean by, war. Like a civil war of two groups versus another, or people fighting
the police
and the army.
I just think they mean that, you know, we're inching towards it. You're seeing it happen with, you know, left-wing radicals and right-wing radicals or clashes, controversial speakers, things like that. But I'm really thinking more along the lines of major economic failures. When there's another economic financial crisis... And we can't print a lot of money to get out of that one. We can't just throw a bailout. And the unemployment rate rises. And people are out on the streets. And we're looking at tent cities.
It's like a Mad Max situation.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what you're kind of saying that and I agree with you, that we're a declining empire. How long is it decline? That's kind of my question.
I don't think it's just like a switch. We're not going to have a major war. If we do have a major war, we're probably going to win it. That's the weird thing about us right now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's never been an empire on the apex of decline like this who still had such military dominance that we have.
Right.
Because of our technology.
Right.
And just leveraging, you know, well, like
so
the amount
you
of
think
GDP.
That it's a very good possibility that we have a few hundred years, we're not even going to feel any of this.
That's what Rome did.
Right.
People, Rome did not switch overnight. You had fucking a decline for a couple hundred years, 150 years, and then the West fell. But the rest of the Roman Empire, it didn't really fall as much. It's 400, they kind of the Huns
came in. But isn't
that
quote that... Rome wasn't built in a day, but it fell in 7. Isn't there a quote that?
Yeah, that's not true.
Okay,
well, I mean, at the end, it was like a quick cut.
Yeah. But it was a long, drawn out process.
Yeah, and if you look at the Eastern Roman Empire, it goes on for 1,000 years.
Okay,
until the fucking Turks. And the
so
Ottomans.
You think this is from looking at this? This is a long, drawn out thing.
Yeah, I mean, look at where Britain ran the world in the 1850s. Is that what and then now they're still around. They're still a financial force. Like that's the thing. It's like
I don't know if they were in the 1850s. I think pre, Revolutionary War. That's when they were really.
Okay, I think whatever. All right, in that
yeah,
range.
But whatever. I understand what you mean. Yeah.
But yeah, and they're still around, and they're not some slouch. They're like, I mean,
right.
They're not the top military power in the world, not the top economic power, but they're there.
And is Britain's economy like ours, where it's simply based on inflating currency and everything like that?
It's very similar. It's very similar. A lot of it's finance. A lot of it's like, you know, that kind of like their stock. Like they kind of started the whole stocks market kind of. Well, not
right.
Literally started it, but you know. But the point is, yeah, it's a very similar dynamic to us. It's not like they produce a lot of shit.
So we're not. So it's not. So nothing's happening soon.
No, but that being said, we do have a bigger population of people in a more spread out. We're like you're talking about. Where like these rural areas are going to be kind of fucked. So it might be a lot messier than Britain is now.
Yeah.
So that it's very unpredictable. I don't think it's going to turn into like some massive riot, and we're all just going to be like poor. But there will be like hugely displaced segments of the population, economically displaced.
Yeah,
and I think the question is whether the people actually have a violent revolt, or was they kind of just kind of accept it? Maybe another Walmart situation where another kind of company comes in, gives them like really menial bullshit jobs, like
right?
You know, if they can do that and keep people placated, I don't think we have a civilization full of like hungry warriors ready to fight the government.
Does climate change change that potentially if things start to get worse, storms, things like that?
Well, of course. I mean, look, if you have massive displacement because of storms.
Because, I mean, I do think that plays a role in it that's kind of unpredictable.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have parts of the eastern seaboard just going away.
I mean, I looked at Hurricane Sandy, and I mean, Hurricane Sandy, you were in Mad Max a week after Hurricane Sandy.
And that's the thing. People talk about...
Yeah.
I didn't even think, just this now, but people talk about, like, cities being kind of, like, eroded over time, like, quickly with this whole climate change, like Miami will be underwater. But I mean, if you just have like Katrina, but like 8 more of them a year,
right?
Think about it, like all these population centers getting displaced, not at the same time, but like within a year of each other, 2 years, it starts to become a huge strain on like where do you go at that point? Like,
right?
If New York's getting fucked, if Boston's getting fucked, hurricanes,
right?
If that's the kind of change, where like at no point are any of them completely submerged for more than like a couple of days. But, like, if you're just constantly being... It's kind of like if terrorism. Like, instead of having one big 9/11, if you just kind of kept, like, car bombs every couple of days, it would just wear on your fucking psyche.
I think that, after Hurricane Sandy, there are people... I was in New York City. I didn't go out to the island because I didn't want to help. But... And there was nothing for me to do. But the... my roommates, went to Staten Island to help. They, made it worse. I'm like, what are you doing? They're, eating the food for the victims. I'm like, this is not helping. They're like, we're helping clean out houses. I'm you're eating it. What are you doing? But there were people sitting in the driveway with guns, bats. There were people driving around Long Island trying to figure out what houses can we rob and steal from.
That you knew?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, I don't know the people driving around in the cars, but I knew people sitting in their driveway with guns.
Right.
To defend themselves.
Oh, okay.
There was a gas shortage. So, I mean, that's like, and that's not even the
worst.
That's
a fair point. And look, the 1%, which is for lack of a better term, they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, they do a lot of bad shit in general, or just whatever. That being said, over the past decade, you have seen a huge level of people who become disenfranchised, and not even that disenfranchised, blame them for everything.
Right.
So now when something does happen, You may start seeing people going to Westchester, going to fucking, North Shore, South Shore, Long Island, and just fucking people up. Shit.
That's the other thing, because Sandy, man, it took very little.
Yeah.
To really, it takes very, very little before society kind of starts to, you start to see the cracks in it.
I mean, even by me, the gas lines are just so long.
Right.
Which is not that big a deal. I'm not complaining.
Right.
But you see, how quickly the supply chain can kind of get diminished.
Yeah.
And
I just think it's so interesting, the idea that just the scavengers going out and being like, I wonder what house.
Well, that's more intense than I was thinking. Yeah.
Oh, but that was going on, man. And there was reports of it. It was a real thing. And were
they going to rich neighborhoods or more middle class?
Middle class.
Yeah.
Rich. You can't really get into rich neighborhoods. You can't get over a fence.
Right.
there's five Dobermans. There's a fucking security system.
Yeah.
If the cops are going anywhere, they're going to those people's house first.
Maybe take pills. But they didn't get that fucking storm, though. They were kind of on their up
there. It all depends. And a lot of those rich neighborhoods, it's hard to get in those houses. You know, it is different. And when you get in the house, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of booby traps. I mean, you know the way it is.
Booby traps in a rich
neighborhood? Not booby traps like Home Alone style, but there are like very complex security systems where you would be shocked. There's stories of dudes going in houses like that and fucking, you know, tripping up a wire and then the house is locked. You can't get out and like cops getting them.
That's a good point because, you know, people go like, oh, well, some of the average guy who makes a few hundred grand a year going to have that. And go, you don't underestimate how afraid of black people these are.
Well, was that a, yeah.
That's, but, no, they really yeah. are.
They're
you
terrified.
Talk to people on Island and there's like this weird, when they talk about black people, it's like, it's like they're not even human.
Terrified.
Yeah, and they're just terrified.
Yeah,
they're
terrified of them. Well, it's also because people in Long Island don't want to admit that they've had any advantage in life,
right.
And that there was that everything they got was not some, you know, comment on their fortitude, intestinal fortitude, and just the idea that, like, yeah, you were born white and you were born in an area where you were kind of lucky.
Yeah, like my dad left me this camera store, but like I started the mail order division. All right,
we were inherited one house. One house, what's your problem? Like, and that's, and I, you know, it's when I had lunch with that kid who was a cop, and Jesus Christ, you hear like the way they think. And the kid was like, I was explaining to him, like, hey man, like, do you know why the projects are the projects? Have you heard of redlining? Have you heard of like black people not being able to get loans to buy homes, like not being able to create wealth? That's how most people created wealth, was through real estate, you know? And he's like, what? That was his response.
Yeah. They talk about the projects as if they were just black cities.
Right. And then he goes like this. He's like, and I would say something. I'd be like, you know, in the 50s, and I'd bring up something. And he'd be like, that was then, this is now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've said, you know, I've talked about it before in the show. And it's like, there's no memory and nothing has any historical context. And this is the problem. Listen, I'm against the PC fucking college kids and their insane obsession with identity. We talked about it last thing. But on the other side, there are people that don't have any context to what they're talking about. And they talk about racism like it was invented by college kids.
Right.
And it wasn't. So, and the idea that like there is a real problem with a system that locks up a 16-year-old kid for smoking a joint, gives him a felony, and then expects him to go out, leave jail, and then turn his life around when he can't get a job.
And there is the touchy subject because like they'll argue, like, oh, well, these people, like, look, they'll give you examples of people who've made, like, shitty choices.
Right.
You know, this guy, like, you know, like, they either, they're still doing, they're doing drugs, or they, like, kind of, they've got welfare, they're not doing anything with it, or, like,
yeah.
You know. And it's like, yeah, when you talk about, like, systemic racism, like, what's been done to black, and let's make sure we keep, blacks are different than everyone else as far as racism. Like,
yeah.
What we did to them is different than, like, Latinos and this.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, and, like, you can't discount what happens to a culture when you rip them out of one country, bring them here, get their will, have 400 years of slavery, whatever it was, and fucking, and like, and even after that, you still have, you know, draconian laws against them.
Yeah.
And after the last 60 years, they're somewhat free. We still have active racism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people in that situation are going to, you know, a lot of them are going to make shitty choices. And it's not to say, because you don't want to get in that road of like, well, these people can't think for themselves and all that kind of shit. But there is a, look, I've made shitty choices. I mean, this is the whole essence of white privilege when it does make sense. It's like, yeah, you and I have both made shitty choices and we're both doing fine right now. We could be doing better, but we're both doing fine.
Well, that's subjective. But I mean, the idea that we're doing fine is...
Well, compared to our choices.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Relative to what we
put in. Listen, man, I mean, I'm the first one to tell you I should have been in jail. I mean, I drove around with, I mean, cocaine in my glove box and fucking OxyContin and eating it at fucking red lights and smoking weed and rolling blunts in the car and, you know, sniffing lines off a CD case in a car and getting in accidents and just fucking walking away and, like, you know, doing some crazy stuff.
And I think it's important that we allow everyone in society to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
That should be the baseline.
But the point is that everybody should be doing that. That's the real... We need to extend that privilege to do drugs.
You need
to
that
everybody.
Time in your life, like Rammspringer or whatever they call it. But it's just you just
where the Amish go and have that year to get wild.
Yeah, but in this case, you just take a bunch of pills and drive around.
How sad is it? You know, there's an Amish kid who just does comedy for a year. You know how sad that is. You know, he's like, it was a real wild time. I opened for Todd Barry. It's like, oh my god.
What is the statistics on the Amish that actually return? Is it like pretty high?
I think it's probably pretty high. You spend 18, 19, like, you know, people are creatures of habit. And then some people, look, there's always people who break away. They move to Manhattan from Ohio, whatever they do. But most people stay where they were born, do what their parents kind of did, what their parents did. You know, like, they don't, like, so yeah, I think most of them, especially when you're like that disconnected from the rest of society, you go out. I think most of them go back. It's kind of thing where it's like, I don't think it's like Scientology where you can't talk to them. Like, if you leave, I don't know if they, like, do they do the whole...
I think you do get excommunicated to an extent.
That's heavy, dude. Like, that's a heavy thing to overcome.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not an expert on that. But
right. If that's the case, then...
I do like the idea. I think it is interesting, the idea of just, like, taking a year. It's like gap year between high school and college. Like, take a year. Go figure yourself out.
Right.
Give a few blowjobs. Get a few blowjobs. Do what you're going to do. Try gluten. Eat gluten. And then come back to fucking, and then, because then a lot of people are going to be like, this life isn't for me. This life for just meaningless sex and smoking weed. You know what I mean?
Right, because like during that year, it's not like you've been building up, like you've been going to school and you're ready to go to college and study architecture.
Right.
Like, yeah, just go out and get drunk. You probably get sick a bunch of times and fuck some ugly people. And like, oh, this isn't that great.
But then there are people that go out and probably have a great time, but still say, but you know what? Everything I know and everything that makes sense to me on a deep level is back home.
You've been doing that. It's one thing, like, if you
isn't that what Long Island is, where people like kind of like maybe move away, go to college, but they will end up back in Long Island because it's like, isn't it a very similar thing?
It's probably true of most places.
Yeah,
I mean, I think when you grow up in a place, and like, it's one thing if you're five and you move there, or six, but like especially when you're like going through your brain's developmental period when like. 2 to 4, whatever that is. Like, yeah, I mean, Amish or Long Island. I mean, you know, when you get that ingrained into your DNA, basically, like, this is how life is, it's hard to break away from that.
I think a lot of people do not live where they grew up. Like, I think that is, there are some real, examples of that. And other than.
Sure. There's plenty of people who move to the city, but I think it'd be interesting.
I'm just talking
to
about moving, dude. There's moving anywhere.
No,
Shannon, can we get that up? How many people? I guess most people do kind of stay because there was some statistic that most people die like within a certain amount of.
Yeah, I think
born.
There's plenty of people who move, but I think for the most part, you know, it's just I think if you had everyone moving around, it'd be a little more of a chaotic, you know, civilization. I think people just kind of.
No, I don't even think my grandmother lived in the same community for 50 years, and I think that's for most people that's a great way to go. You know,
I mean, now with the FaceTime and shit, you can like, you know, talk to your parents or. Your kids on the laptop, and it's nicer. It's like maybe that will help people to kind of move to China.
Yeah,
they can, like, you can get a robot to be pretending.
A lot
to be
of
mom.
People, man, try going to China now because there's so many opportunities.
Well, time was 10 years ago, but sure, you can still do it now.
You can still do it now. What did they say, Shannon?
This is showing, I guess, based on region, how far people end up moving away from home.
Yeah, interesting.
So
how do we?
It varies.
Oh, okay. So yes, it's interesting, man. In the West, you're looking at it's more than in the East. So that's interesting.
It makes sense. Basically,
talk to the mic, please.
I'm sorry. Basically, you have on the West Coast, it's 26 miles. It's insane. So on the West Coast, you have like these denser areas, but not like New York City. So like things are already spread out more. So like, you know, to go to Laguna from LA, is that. What is that, like 10 miles, 50 miles? Like my point is, like, to go 26 miles is not as big a deal as it is when you live in, like, you know, Bushwick, and you're 26 miles in Bushwick, you're not even in New York City anymore. You're, like, you're in the Long
right.
Island. It's a different
Absolutely.
Culture.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about, like, what is this, like, Arizona, like, Wyoming, like, the Southwest?
Yeah.
That whole area, 44 miles, because everything's spread out more there. I think if you looked at it, you're probably seeing a very similar based idea. But like the density of like where house to house is basically affecting. House.
I mean, that's a huge part of it. Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'd love to get the stats of people who move out west. Is an interesting. You know, we'll try to get those stats. I'd love to know.
Can I date Amish girls?
No.
Like legally?
I don't think so.
Oh, and the retention rate after Rumspringa is 80-90%, depending on the community.
They go back.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, makes sense. What should we do for our one-year anniversary? Do you have any ideas?
I think we throw a party. Maybe go to some kind of like multi-gender strip club. They have those yet?
I don't know.
Maybe get like, can we just get like private strippers, like men and women, And we just have a party with some of our select fans.
I don't know. I had such a meltdown at Caroline's. I stood, the audience wasn't laughing. I just started screaming at them that I hope all their dogs killed themselves.
Oh, I was like, you told them all their dogs killed themselves?
Yeah, I was like, when you go home, you're going to find your dogs that they've all killed themselves.
So in this in this crowd work premise that you've laid down.
Yeah, they started laughing.
You went to
they liked it.
No, I'm sure it,
turned them around.
It sounds fun, but you were claiming to have gone to their houses and
murdered
their dogs?
No, I'm saying the dogs killed themselves.
Oh, right, okay.
The dogs killed themselves because they hate you.
Oh, okay.
And the people actually liked that. And then I explained to a couple of a family in Norway that America was, our economy is based on murder. And they like that. The audience like that. But then I tried to do a joke. They were like, no, no, no. Don't go back. But I'm trying to think, what should we do for the 50th episode of this show?
You want to have a live event? We could do a live event, perhaps?
We should, perhaps, do something.
Otherwise,
you know?
Then we can have a cavalcade of our best guests.
You know, we got to see if we could sell some tickets, you know? If we could sell tickets, we'll do a live event, you know?
People, you guys got to pony up.
Well, I mean, listen, it could be $5. I just want you to show up.
Right.
You know? I don't even care. We're not
people
trying
don't
to make
value
money.
Things that are free.
Well, that, and it's like, I don't even care if we make money. I just want, I'm not going to come for three people.
Right.
So if three people show up, I don't want the three people that are showing up. Put it
well,
that
we,
way.
We appreciate you
them.
Showing up.
I mean, but the three people that will show up to this.
They know who they are, though. That's a, don't be careful. But the three people know
no,
who
know,
they are right
I know,
now. And
I know they know.
You're going to hurt their feelings.
I don't give a fuck. I want a full room of people. I don't want five people. You know, and then we got to get guests.
Why are you being negative?
I'm not being negative. I'm just saying if we can do it, if we can do a live event, we're going to do a live event with a lot of people if you come, and we'll have guests. We got to get good guests.
What about, I was thinking about like an all-star team of our best guests. Like
maybe
like
we'll
panel.
Do that. Maybe we'll do that.
We'll have Russ Baker next to Wendy Starling. You know?
We should have done a float. Somebody messaged me. They go, you should have done a float, gay pride float. Tim Dillon's going to hell with Gary Vee, Russ Baker, Noreen Gosh, Lou Pearlman. Like,
amazing.
That would have been great.
Can you just anyone make a float? Is that how it works?
What? No, I mean, just like as an art piece
okay.
for Instagram. I don't think he was, you know. I don't
Did you have
was,
a good pride?
It was fine. I was working.
Right.
You know, I was just doing shows. Like, I mean, I went to one event for gay people in the media.
Oh, you did?
Well, I was at Skankfest for the majority of the day. And then I went to a quick event for gay people in media, which is such a weird term. And like, nobody was in media. I was like, what is it? It was like in a townhouse. I'm like, what? Who's in media?
Was it an orgy?
No, it was just like a weird networking event where no one, everybody went thinking that there was someone important going to be there, and those people never came. So you just had a bunch of people that were waiting for like someone to come that never came. I don't know if they thought Andy Cohen was going or fucking, what's his name? The other guy, Anderson Cooper, whoever they thought was coming didn't come.
Right.
So it was literally just a bunch of people kind of waiting for something, and it never happened. So... which is a lot of that's. I'm very used to that dynamic. It's through mortgages and a comedy, I'm surrounded by very desperate people waiting for something that's not coming. It's like a desperate kid waiting for dad to come back. Like, when's he coming back, mom? And the mother smoking a cigarette. She's like, just leave me alone. Like, it's really a desperate. But we should do something. I mean, we should do something. We really should.
Tweet us with ideas, but I think some kind of stripping / maybe a pool party.
Rent out a strip club. It's too much money.
All right. Does anyone have a house that has a nice pool that we can like people can show up to?
Our fans.
We might have one.
We don't have any.
Why don't be positive thinking? This is 2017.
Yeah.
Positive thinking.
Is anyone not under investigation that listens to the show?
I don't think we rule them out.
No, I don't know if anyone's inviting us to our house. I mean, I think that we might do, I don't know, man. It's so hard to find a fucking venue to do something. I mean, maybe if somebody has an idea.
All right, so if we don't get a live thing going, what do you think? Some kind of marathon, maybe?
I mean...
maybe me and you, we go we go on a tour like of some sort. We check in. We do podcasts from X, Y, and Z places.
I mean, maybe we do that. I really think we go to Johnny Gosh's... home, the block where he was abducted.
This seems...
and do like a live show.
Seems like a great idea.
I mean, it's probably just going to be us, but I just think going to the block where Johnny Gosch was abducted...
like on the port, on the stoop?
I mean, I don't know. People call the cops, but I mean, I just think it's funny to do...
we'll do it. We'll do it. We'll get an Uber.
Yeah.
We'll pay for the hour,
to
I guess.
Iowa.
And just sit in front of the house and we'll do it in the car.
I think it would be great to just figure out a way to visit that area.
I mean... you just get on a plane and go. I don't think
No, I know. It's just, you know, maybe we'll do a GoFundMe or something.
Gogashmi.
I mean, look, there's a reason that they were abducting kids in this area. They didn't go to Branson, Missouri. They went to...
Wouldn't it be funny if we get there and all the kids are hot and we're like, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? They're all just wearing like mini skirts.
Yeah, all these kids are just great looking. We're like, well, of course. There's not a fatty here.
Girls flirty in the eyes.
Yeah. All these kids have come fuck me eyes. Jesus. Well, of course. What did you think was going to happen? Like, every kid we see is like, hey, daddy. We're like, what? Stop it. You stop it right now. This is why you got kidnapped. Hey, daddy.
Do you think that's true?
What?
No, I'm never going to say it.
What?
No.
What are you going to say?
The kids never deserve it.
No, they're a kid, like you're saying, it's like, is that your argument? Like, well, what kind of shorts were you wearing, Tommy?
No, but that's the thing. Like, that's, you can never, you, that's, there might be some weird logic where you could try, like, some guy could try to be like, no, look, they came on to me. Like, I don't think little kids, but, you know, I'm sure there's teenagers who have been complicit.
Sure.
But that's why you gotta be. You can't be fucking around like, oh, she looks like she might be 18. Then you better figure it out. Like,
you better, hey. You better figure it out. Hey, daddy. Get away from me.
Is a transsexual child?
I'm your soccer coach. Hi, daddy.
You think little Anna Amy?
Your little Anna Amy. Somebody wanted to animate that. They came up to me at Skankfest. They're like, I want to animate it. Just animate it.
Yeah.
Send it to us. Need my permission. Do it. Just do it. Yeah, I've been having some real rough sets around town. I don't know what to do. I'm just getting angry at people. And I'm just getting sick of these people. You know, some of these shows, you go there, man, and you stare at the people in the audience, and you're like, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, what are you even here for? And they want to see, like, a big Hershey Kiss get up and start dancing and everything. And I'm like, what do you fucking think we're going to do? I told them at Caroline's, like, I have no investment in you having a good time. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care if you have a good time.
Were you hosting?
I was like, sit there and be fucking miserable if you want. I don't care what you want. You waited for tickets to Hamilton. You couldn't fucking get them. Now you're here. At the fucking
Is that what you said before you told jokes?
No, I told two jokes that usually do well. They didn't do well. And I just said, fuck it. I'm just not going to. Sometimes I just get to a situation where I go, I'm just not. Because that room, man, sometimes in a room in the middle of Times Square, it's just like, I just don't. I just, what was Junior's crew too crowded? So you came here? Piglet?
Junior's?
The Cheesecake Place.
That's in Times Square?
Yeah.
I thought there was in like...
There's one in Brooklyn and there's two in Times Square.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, they always been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where they make money.
Yeah, right.
And I just don't want to fucking go through the motions with some of these fucking people. Because it's just like, I know you don't want to be here.
Some guy, you're picturing some guy... And his fat wife, and just annoyed. Like, he's trying, like, hey, look, I see some comedy. She's like, she's saying fine, but she's like, just thinking about raspberry cheesecake the whole time. And like,
yeah, fucking, man, whatever it is, sometimes I just fucking, you know, I just don't connect. And I at a certain point, it's like, I just kind of snap. And I'm just like, you know what? And that's funny. That ends up being funny because, like, I just tell them, I'm like, listen.
Now, what percentage of the time, does it, like, when you snap and it's not funny? Like, where it doesn't, you don't get over.
No, I don't know. There's a good percentage.
How does it feel to you? Are you just mad at that point?
No, well, at that point when I resigned myself, and we're talking about a comedy club with a lot of people in it. We're not talking about like eight people in a bar. We're talking about like a lot of people. The managers are there. The bookers. I don't care.
Yeah, and you're screaming at, and I've seen it. It's great. I mean, I still love it. Even, but I'm saying, like, how does it feel? Do you feel like embarrassed at all when, like, at that moment, or is it more just like rage?
I'm just angry. I'm angry, and I just want it to go better. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I just get very angry, and there's no real, I don't see a way out. So I'm trying to find a way out. And so the way out can be...
maybe like learn some guitar songs?
Yeah, I don't know. But sometimes I just look at them and I go, you're going to hate me. You should hate me.
Right.
Sometimes I just get to them and I go,
it's one thing to learn how to like be
I'm also getting sick of hosting and I do it a lot.
Right.
And if you're a good host, it's a curse because they keep having you do it. I'm just getting angry.
Sure.
And I'm starting to lash out. And maybe if I lash out enough, they'll stop having me host. No, it's just, I'm very good at it. And I don't mind doing it. But
it's one thing to like, because you've gotten so much better over the years. It's one thing to learn to get better at like dealing with different types of crowds.
Yeah.
And another thing to ask someone to be a fundamentally like just more like what's the word?
Like docile.
Docile comics that people like that will have. You can't, like, there's not everyone wants the darker version, but a lot of people do. But I'm saying, like, there's some
it
people
just depends,
who,
man.
Who
it's
won't
like,
tap
it's
into
like
that
the
darker
you know,
frequency.
The Stand is comedy fans that go out to that club a lot, you know? Obviously, clubs like The Cellar and stuff and Gotham, it depends. And sometimes Caroline, sometimes they are comedy fans.
Yeah.
But then, you know, a lot of times you really just get people that are, like, confused and lost.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And
like,
it's kind of like, I don't know what to do.
And I'm saying, I feel like if you did figure, like, to figure out how to please them, you'd almost, like, compromise the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to try to figure out doing it without selling your soul. All right, let's get out of here. I don't know what the fuck's going on my website. We're trying to figure it out. It's in flux right now. We're gonna update you guys. We're gonna sign up. There's more things coming. This bus tour is coming in July, and we're gonna figure out a way for you guys to get tickets to that. But as of right now, hold off on visiting the website. I have dates coming up, and I'm putting them all on Instagram and Twitter. So let's go to Tim J. Dillon, D-I-L-L-O-N on Instagram. I got dates coming up at Denver Comedy Works this weekend. In July, we're at Zany's. We're in Lansing, Michigan in July. In August, we're at Mohegan Sun. We're at Dead Crow Comedy in Wilmington, North Carolina. A lot of stuff going on. Anything going on with you?
Guinea pig.
Guinea pig, folks. All right, thanks for coming.